T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
There is no Mike today. Instead, you've got John Jastrzemski and me, Evan Roberts. How you doing? And on this Tuesday, the long baseball national nightmare has ended. Because Manny Machado, just a few hours ago, I don't know who reported it first. Rosenthal, Heyman, one of these guys. Jeff Passan. Was it Jeff Passan? We don't like to speak Jeff Passan's name since he sold us out. He won't talk to us anymore. But Jeff Passan dropped the bomb that Manny Machado, JJ, got a 10-year, $300 million deal with the San Diego Padres, and you are one of the Yankee fans that didn't want him. So this is a happy day for you?
Absolutely, and I had a little extra pep in my step when I was walking through the streets of Brooklyn as I'm drinking my coffee, as I'm coming in here to do a radio show, because now we can finally put to bed the ridiculous narrative that some Yankee fans wanted to bring to the table that the Yankees needed Manny Machado. I mean, maybe I'm missing a memo here, Evan, but I see a studded shortstop in Didi Gregorius. I see a guy who was the runner-up for Rookie of the Year at third base in Miguel Andujar. Gleyber Torres at second, an all-star. And I understand Didi's not coming back till August. And, you know, in the short term, it may be DJ LeMahieu with Gleyber at short. Maybe it's going to be Tulowitzki, if dare I say he could stay on the field. But I always looked at Machado as a guy for an 8, 9, 10-year commitment was not a necessity. So, yeah, I'm A-okay with the idea now that Manny Machado's taking his talents to the Padres.
You're right when you use the word need. But there have been many times over the decades and over the years, even last year with Giancarlo Stanton, where the Yankees will acquire a guy they don't need, but because it makes them better. Manny Machado would obviously make the Yankees better.
But how much better?
How do you define it? What, do you want to break out WAR to figure it out?
No, I'm talking world championship. Is Manny Machado going to make or break the Yankees winning a title?
One guy,
I don't buy that.
One guy, and I think we agree on this, does not make or break a championship usually, okay? Unless that guy has a torrid October, this isn't the NBA. You know, one guy usually doesn't put you completely over the top, but Manny Machado would have made them better. Look, Giancarlo Stanton made them better last year, despite him not living up to Yankee expectations. Was he a perfect fit for this team? He wasn't. And I think part of why I actually do understand why you don't want him is because what you've pointed out are reasons that are very valid. I've heard people point out reasons that have been anti-Manny Machado that I never thought
were
valid.
Like the hustle.
The hustle
stuff. Because you know what? When Cano was here, I didn't have a problem with Cano.
Of course not.
Because he fit the team beautifully.
You know what you hit on? And I always thought that this is a big factor for why certain Yankee fans wouldn't want Manny Machado. And that's Didi's your guy.
Bingo.
That you look at Didi, you see a guy that's gotten better every single year he's been here, which is true. You see a guy that's more than just the numbers. He's a heart guy. He's a part of the core of this baseball team. He's a leader, which is all true. And while he's really good, he's not as good as Manny Machado. That's fine. Look, Derek Jeter in his prime
wasn't as good as A-Rod,
right?
Bingo.
Right? It's kind of similar. So I understand you saying, yeah, part of why I didn't want Manny is where does that leave Didi? Because the truth was, if they signed Manny Machado this year, in the short term to fill in for Didi, the long-term answer meant Didi was gone.
Or Andujar was going to be traded.
In either scenario is not ideal. So I understood your point of not wanting the guy. From that standpoint, he's still a really good baseball player.
I agree with that. And that's why I think if you're the San Diego Padres, you're a team that's dying to be relevant, you're a team that's dying to make a splash, I understand why the Padres, with their loaded farm system, said we're willing to go the extra mile. They're a team that needs that sort of piece. The White Sox were a team, in my opinion, that needed that sort of piece. The Yankees did not. And I always looked at it, Evan, and I told you this yesterday. If there was a big guy to go after for the Yankees, I always thought the bigger complaint was Harper. because you look at left field right now, Brett Gardner is a stopgap. He's not a part of the long-term fabric.
And long-term in that outfield, there are more questions. You know, right now, when you look at the Yankee infield, not just in the short term, but in the long term, you've got three guys that could hold down positions for the next 8 years. Miguel Andujar at third, Didi Gregorius if they re-sign him at shortstop, Gleyber Torres at second. First base is a different story. That has more questions. But you have third base, shortstop, and second base that could be held down by those guys for the next 8 years. The outfield has more questions. The outfield has Aaron Judge, and the outfield has Giancarlo Stanton. That's it. Aaron Hicks is a free agent at the end of the year, and I think you'd agree, and I think most Yankee fans would agree, that there'd be more of a priority on keeping Didi than there would be Aaron Hicks.
No question.
Right? And you hit on it with Brett Gardner, who's nothing more than a stopgap. So Harper's a better fit, not just because of the lefty thing, but because the outfield has just more questions long-term than the infield does, because we just laid it out. If things go according to plan, Gleyber's the second baseman for the next decade. And Duhar, and he will improve at third base. I'm confident in that because he's putting the work in. That's half the battle. He's going to be your third baseman for the next 10 years, and assuming they re-sign Didi, which I believe they will now, unless they want to go after Xander Bogaerts, which I doubt they will.
Didi's better.
Well, no.
I'll take Didi.
He's your guy, and he's left-handed. Those are the two big factors why he's better for you. He's not better. He's better for you, and that's fine. He's left-handed, and he's your guy.
Guess what, Evan?
He's better for you.
For a Yankee fan that's upset today, here's what I'm going to ask him. It's a very simple question. Are you cool? Are you confident in Andujar, Didi, Torres for the years to come? And my answer is yes. I'm very, very confident in all three of those players. To the point you made on Andujar.
And they're also different, which I like.
They're very different.
Yes, I
love that. Gleyber's got that flash to his game, which you like. And you saw why he was one of the top five prospects in baseball. Andujar is like a Soriano. And I don't want to compare him to this guy because he's a Hall of Famer. It's unfair. But a bad ball hitter in the way that Vlad Guerrero was a bad ball hitter. And you know what? This Yankee lineup could use a guy like that. That's okay in a lineup that has a lot of high on base guys. You know, maybe some guys who don't have the highest of batting averages. I'm okay with Andujar being that guy. And then Didi with the intangibles and the leadership.
And the lefty.
And the big game ability and the left-handed swing. That's the ideal third, short, second infield that I'm looking for years to come. That's why I've always said Machado now, great player. Great talent, one of the top 15, 20 players in the sport. He deserves the money. Don't get me wrong. I've said he deserves the money. Just not from the Yankee team.
But it wasn't a need. That's why I think that's fair to say. They never needed Manny Machado. They don't need Bryce Harper, but does it make you better? Could you have done creative things like, hey, maybe Miguel Andujar's long-term future is first base and Machado is slotted in at third base? Sure, you could have done all of that. You could always make it work when you have really good baseball players. They made it work with A-Rod. A-Rod moved to third base. It was never a necessity. And I think the day they acquire Giancarlo Stanton, which was now a year and a few months ago, they made their intentions clear. They chose an extra year out of Giancarlo Stanton. They chose bringing him in over going after Manny Machado and probably Bryce Harper, because Bryce Harper is going to sign soon now. And let's all admit it, it's not going to be with the Yankees.
No chance.
I know there's that hope that some have. It's not going to happen. And so a year and 4 months ago, when Joe and I were at Army Navy in December in the snow, that was the moment, good or bad, depending on your view on it, when Brian Cashman decided Giancarlo Stanton, yes, no to Bryce Harper and Manny Machado.
Well, let's be honest, Evan. Now, the Philadelphia Phillies, who are the same team that came out at the start of the offseason and said, we're going to spend stupid money. And don't get me wrong, Phillies have had a solid, very solid offseason.
Sure.
Realmuto, Segura, Robertson, McCutchen. But people in Philadelphia, you know how that town operates. It's boom or bust, right? It's going to be about one of those big stars. And now I think for Bryce Harper and his camp, where he's got Scott Boras in his ear and he's got the big-time agent in the mix, you're telling me Bryce Harper is going to settle for less than $300 million?
No chance.
He's going to make sure. Hey, guess what? It's 10 years, 301. And the Yankees, because Stanton is now in the mix, they're going to pay a bunch of their younger players a part of this young core. They're not giving Harper 10 years at 301.
No,
no way.
And that's what it's going to take. And I think that's what ultimately he's going to get. And I'll throw something else at you because, and this guy has not called a station in many years, but there was a caller to Joe and then me in the overnights named John in Philly. And John always used to bring up something interesting about the dynamic in Philadelphia. He'd say that there's a rivalry between the Phillies and the Eagles. There is that competition in that marketplace for the souls of the fans. I mean, you are fans of all of those teams, but they kind of compete for attention. Right now, if you look at the city of Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Eagles are not that far removed from winning a Super Bowl. They're going to make a big decision about Nick Foles. They are the team in that city. And now the Sixers have completed the process, if you will, right? They're building behind Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and they made the trade for Tobias Harris, and they made the trade for Jimmy Butler. What I'm getting at is, to your point, which is right on about the Phillies spending stupid money, I think they also need to kind of combat the popularity of the Eagles and the Sixers by bringing in a star like Bryce Harper, because the moves they've made are good. Gene Segura is an underrated player. We know about David Robertson around here, Andrew McCutchen. They've had a good offseason, and they may end up with Craig Kimbrell. We'll see. Or Dallas Keuchel. They kind of need that star power, because in that city, and I don't think we have that here in New York, but in that city, they kind of compete with the other teams around. So I think Bryce is going to end up there, and that's why I think it's brilliant that Scott Boras, because I know this is what's going on. This is definitely what's going on. Scott Boras is leaking out the thought that Bryce doesn't want to play in Philly. He doesn't like Philly. The Liberty Bell's ugly. The city's this. I don't like cheesesteak. They're going to leak all that stuff out to put more and more pressure on the Phillies to just pay him whatever the hell he wants.
And I think that's going to happen.
Oh, I think so,
too. When it's all said and done, Bryce Harper's going to be a Philadelphia Philly, and then the Phillies can look at their offseason and say, you know what? We got Harper plus all of these other guys. We fulfilled the promise that we were talking about at the start of the offseason. And it's funny, Evan, 24 hours ago, we're doing a monologue talking about Jacob deGrom, and we're discussing free agency, and we're talking about, will these big contracts be out there? Will teams be willing to go the extra mile? It took some time, and I know it's not what the Players Association necessarily likes, but I don't think any player is going to complain Manny Machado getting 10 years, $300 million.
No, and that's why when we were talking about this yesterday and the anger that the players are having, the star players get the most attention. But to me, some of the concern is not the star players.
It's Marwin Gonzalez.
It's Marwin Gonzalez is still out there. Let's see what he ends up with. There's no doubt Manny Machado got paid. All right, 10 years, $300 million, an opt-out after 5 years. What more could he have wanted?
And did you expect that? I did not expect him to get 10 years at $300 million.
No, I really did
not. With the way this was going, no way.
I didn't see it coming. And I got to defend the Padres, because I had this discussion with Ernie off air, and I think Bart even made a comment about this earlier. It may have been Bart, and if it wasn't, if you're listening, Bart, I apologize. Somebody said it. It's like going to Siberia. Now, I think that is so ridiculous and wrong, and I think Ernie's wrong. I think a lot of people are discounting the San Diego Padres for this reason. Yeah, they haven't won a lot recently. They had a good year in 2010. I think they won 90 games. They made the playoffs back-to-back. They were actually in the playoffs the year the Mets were in 2006. They lost to the Cardinals in that first round. I thought the Padres were better. I get it. Overall, they haven't had a lot of success. The Padres have a fan base, and San Diego is a pretty decently sized city. To act like, wow, the Padres, he didn't go to the Rays, bro. He went to the Padres. Where do they rank in attendance every year? Do you even know that, Ernie? Do you know?
I would say bottom five.
Well, you're wrong if say it. They're middle of the pack every year. And you know why that's impressive, JJ? Because they've stunk for the last 8 years. You know they ranked ahead of the Phillies a few years ago? Oh. People care about the Padres in San Diego. And if, God forbid, with their good farm system that you pointed out, and Manny Machado and Heyman even saying, hey, they may go get Bryce Harper too, if they were ever consistently good, they would be top five in attendance, period. Because the weather's always nice. They have an advantage with that. Those April games aren't going to be a turnoff.
I was going to say, who wouldn't want to live in San Diego?
Nobody.
San Diego and the south side of Chicago in April. Might be dealing with snow.
The one he does have the tax issue in California. That is a little bit of an issue.
A little higher there.
But the way your lifestyle is great. San Diego is one of the best cities to live in. But I'm just taking umbrage to the attacks on San Diego as a fan base being terrible. That's not true. It's just not. And they have a great farm system. And we'll see what these guys turn into if Fernando Tatis Jr. becomes a star. But they were ranked, I think, by Baseball America last year. Not sure what they're ranked this year. Number one farm system in baseball. So you have the number one farm system in baseball. You had a guy in Manny Machado who's 26 years old for the next 10 years, maybe 5 years if he opts out. Eric Hosmer, he'll be okay.
Good ball player. Overpaid, but a very good ball player.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes you got to overpay guys to get to go.
Well, and that's the idea. Listen, you're the Padres. You're dying to make a splash. You know, you've been irrelevant for the last 7-8 years. Listen, Evan, at the end of the day, do I think a 10-year contract for Manny Machado is going to work out? No, I don't personally. I think the 10-year contract history shows us more often
than not. Depends how you define that, though. How are you defining does it work?
That's, is he there for the duration?
But that could be a great success. I'll give you a hypothetical. Manny has five amazing years. Just, he's awesome. He's great. And he says, you know, I'm going to opt out. I'm only 31 years old. Was it a good contract for the Padres?
That's fine. No. Right? That's fine. The Padres now, in order for this to work, Machado's got to play like top 10 player in the sport.
Right.
And the team needs to be competitive year after year after year.
I agree.
It cannot be a situation where Cano goes to Seattle and the team kind of fades away into the abyss.
Yeah, and that, but I think when Cano went to Seattle and Manny now going to San Diego, I think the situations are very different because this is a team, and I love this. We always play these stupid games sometimes of, hey, JJ, if you're building a team, who are you building your team around, right? We play those games. Manny Machado's in that discussion. Right? He may be not number one, number two. I think clearly Mike Trout's number one. But if we were playing a game, you're starting a franchise, who are you building around? Manny Machado is a part of the discussion early on in that conversation. Well, here are the San Diego Padres with the number one farm system in baseball, with still a relatively low payroll, getting to play the game in real life. We're building around Manny Machado at 26. Good for them.
Nice place to start.
JJ, I'm jealous as a Met fan.
I can't blame Manny Machado. Can't blame
him.
Imagine the narrative, and listen, I don't even want to tease you with the idea if the Mets ever handed out a contract like this, what your reaction would be, what the reaction would be from a majority of the Mets fans. You know what? You're right. I give the San Diego Padres credit. I don't necessarily think it's going to work out, but I totally understand and I totally get why they would make a move like this. Totally get it.
When you bring up the winning aspect, that aspect of it working out, that will be dependent on if this number one farm system develops and what other moves they make over the next 4 or 5 years.
And what Machado will do.
He's a good baseball player.
I get that, Evan, but he cannot go there now and hit 22 home runs.
Well, is he hitting 350? You know what I mean?
When has Machado ever hit 350?
No, but he's here's my point. I assume that the reason you said 22 home runs is the ballpark. Is that
Bingo.
A part of why you said that?
Bingo.
Okay. I always like to think that with bigger ballparks that eat up home runs, you sometimes gain extra hits out of it. So with losing home runs, you gain average.
Well, let's
that
see.
Does happen.
Let's see if Machado's hitting 315, 320
well,
this
let's
year.
See. I'm not saying he will, by the way, but I am curious how he's going to react to the National League West for a full year. He only had it for a few months. To playing in that ballpark to a lineup that right now features, what, Eric Hosmer, Will Myers, not a lot of protection. We'll see. But he is a really good baseball player. And the Padres said, we're going to build around them.
And that's cool.
And I commend that.
And you know what, Evan? I think we're going to talk to a good majority of Yankee fans who are A-okay that he's on his way to San Diego.
Sure.
I think most Yankee fans happy about the fact he's on his way to San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, the man behind the glass isn't. Ernie's a big Manny Machado fan. But I think what Ernie has done and others who have been big Manny proponents have done is I think they've made peace recently that this was not going to happen.
Right after DJ LeMahieu, I was
Yeah.
Dead. That's when it became real.
That was the moment?
Yeah.
Not Troy Tulowitzki?
No, because that was literally a flyer. When they gave LeMahieu $24 million over 2 years, that's when you say, wow, the Yankees just made a significant financial commitment to an infielder. They have Didi.
Right.
They have Glaber. They have Andujar. Where does Machado fit in? The answer is he doesn't.
I assume, and one of the guys, I think you actually had him on recently, the Barstool guy, Hubs, who's a big Yankee fan.
I talked
big
him off the ledge.
Big Manny guy, right?
No, but we changed his tune a little bit.
Well, you've changed his opinion?
Well, now
he's
okay with the idea that they didn't get him.
I assume he's made peace with
it. He has.
Like, there are things, I'll give you an example. At the beginning of this offseason, Joe and I were screaming, Manny to the Mets, Manny to the Mets, Manny to the Mets, Manny to the Mets. Now, I'm not going to bother Joe. He's at the zoo today. But if I called up Joe and said, listen, take a break from the Pandas for a second, bro.
Yeah, what's up, bro? How you doing?
Manny went to the Padres. You know why it wouldn't make any difference in his brain? Because he's made peace with the fact the Mets weren't going to sign him.
Great, bro.
All right, whatever. Good for him, bro. Like, and I think that's what happened with Ernie and those Yankee fans who wanted him. You weren't one of them, but there were Yankee fans who wanted Manny Machado. I think they've known now, maybe it was LeMahieu, like you said, maybe it was Tulo, maybe it was just the feel of this offseason that it wasn't going to happen. And if it was ever going to happen, it was not going to be in the ballpark of $300 million. It just wasn't. He was going to have to take far less to join the New York Yankees, and I don't blame him for not taking far less.
You say no to 10 years, $300 million, live in San Diego? Where do I sign?
Exactly. And there'll be very little criticism, too. I think they're a passionate fan base out there, but I had a roommate for 1 year from San Diego, big Padre fan, and this is probably where I have an appreciation.
That's why you think they have a lot of fans, because of that one guy.
No, it's not because I spoke to him. He would tell me the deal in San Diego about the way they felt about things. And their attendance numbers don't lie, bro. Did you look up the numbers?
Yeah, I looked up attendance. There's a lot of teams that you'd say have better fan bases than them that are under their attendance.
Like the Phillies, right?
Attendance is the best way to...
People go to the games, do they not?
Yeah, people go to
the games. Then that's it.
If they're a great... if they have a great fan base, then who has a bad fan base in baseball?
Tampa Bay Rays have a bad fan base.
Right.
What about the Oakland A's? They have a passionate fan base, but it's very small.
If you're making the case for the Padres, you got to make the case for every team in baseball.
I'm talking about the San Diego Padres right now. People go to the games.
Do they really care, though, to Ernie's point? I'm not really sure.
Well, but they care in a different way. So after you guys, and by you guys, I mean the Yankees, when you guys swept the Padres in 1998, I made fun of my roommate Brian for this for a while. You know what I made fun of him about? Right after the game ended, after Scott Brosius fields the ground
jumping up in the air. Yeah. Oh, emotional.
You know what happened at old Jack Murphy Qualcomm? They all stood up.
Oh, and they cheered. They gave the Padres a standing ovation. Right. I remember it.
Now,
imagine that at Citi Field.
No.
Yankee Stadium.
No. No. We're going to have the head coach of the Islanders, Barry Trotz, coming on. All right?
Now, in fairness, though, Evan.
What?
I've seen the Ranger fans when they salute after playoff series where they applaud the team.
Yeah.
Is that a little different?
I think it is.
Because they're saluting you.
Yeah, I think they're saluting. And here's the other thing. You know when you get to the World Series and you're the San Diego Padres, you're probably not getting back, right? This was your moment.
20
this
years,
was your
25
chance,
years, yeah.
Right? I don't know. It does feel a little bit different to me. Yeah, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being tougher on them. But I always made fun of that. But that's just, it's a different mentality in San Diego. Doesn't mean they aren't good fans. They're just different kind of fans. They're not going to boo Manny Machado. They're not going to
say. He's going to love it there. Gonna love it. Right, 70 yes. And sunny, never gonna hear a boo or complaint in his life. He's gonna love it. Maybe not the ballpark. He may not love that ballpark. Those balls that are flying out of Camden Yards, they're gonna be right in the left fielder's glove. Sorry, Manny.
What about the extra doubles?
I think he wants the dingers, but he'll take the 300 million.
Yeah, go
he's
to the,
okay.
Go to the bank every 2 weeks. I think he'll be okay.
He's okay.
But we will talk to the head coach of the first place Islanders, Barry Trotz, is gonna join us around 4:30 to 5 o'clock. We'll come back, we'll get to your calls. The bizarre Antonio Brown video. There's a lot to discuss. JJ and Evan filling in for Mike till 6:30.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.